This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:48 in the morning, you're listening to The Morning Run with Shazana Xiaoning and Keith. Now, after months in the making, the Parliament has passed, finally, the anti-party hopping bill by a two-thirds majority. We had 209 MPs voting in favour of the bill, while 11 MPs were absent. The anti-party hopping law was mooted by both government and opposition MPs after the infamous Sheraton move back in February 2020, where several MPs jumped from their respective political parties and caused the collapse of the Pakatan Harapan government.
The bill was supposed to be tabled by the March parliamentary sitting under the MOU between the government and Pakatan Harapan, but deliberations dragged on between stakeholders until this month. That said, the passage of the bill comes as a relief to many and could bolster public trust in our political system.
So for reactions to and a better understanding of the mechanics of the bill, we speak to Danish Prakash Chako, Director of Tindak Malaysia. Danish, good morning. Thank you very much for joining us today. So we see the Dewan Rakyat unanimously pass the anti-hopping bill yesterday to much fanfare. How significant is this legislation for Malaysia's political system from your perspective?
First of all, thank you very much for inviting me to this discussion. Okay, first and foremost, I have to acknowledge that it is historic because it cleared the pathways for measures to manage party hopping and movements. And secondly, it was the way the second reading's contents is laid out by the Prime Minister. It has already shown that the government of the day and also the opposition was supporting the contents, have a clear idea of what kind of solution befits the major type of problem of party hopping in our country.
It's supposed to help bolster public trust in the political system. Do you think this is the silver bullet for it?
If you ask me, this is the first step in restoring the public confidence in our democratic system, in some sort of respect for our politicians. Yes, but we need to see how things pans out from here. Having just this constitution amendment, because it has to be approved through the Dewan Negara, we need to see finally embedded in the constitution. So it's a silver bullet, but just the first step of it.
Okay. Danish, maybe you can help us walk through the bill a little bit in terms of what kind of circumstances are covered under this present anti-hopping bill, how it differs from previous iterations, and maybe what situations aren't covered by the law.
Okay, so let's specifically refer to what has been laid out during the second reading of this Constitution Amendment number 3 of 2022. So there are a couple of aspects to it. One is talking about how the vacancies are going to be formed, and we go straight into that topic. So a vacancy will happen in the Dewan Rakyat when a political party member switched parties or become independent. It's mostly likely referring to willful, voluntary jumping of that person. An independent who joins a party. Again, a willful, voluntary jumping of a candidate who did not contest a party flag. Party hopping within or amongst coalition is also included. That means if you are a member of PKR and you were to jump to DAP, which is still under the same coalition, then it's amount to a party hopping that could create a vacancy. So the focus is quite good. Mm. The issue here is you willfully jump from your own political party, not the coalition. The exclusion to this will be dissolution of the party, the cancellation of the registration of the party, expulsion of the party, and becoming the speaker. Political party symbols that were used for the election would not be accounted for this purpose of anti-party hopping law.
So, Danish, just for some context, what Azmin Ali and gang did during the Sheraton move would have been okay under this anti-hopping law?
They would be penalized. What would be allowed would have been was Bersatu switching coalitions, because that is a political party moving.
Right. No, but Azmin from PKR and Bersatu were in the same coalition, though, and he just jumped over to Bersatu.
Yeah, so the thing is, he shifted parties within the same coalition.
Yeah.
If you, from the interpretation of the of this, you will be still penalized.
Okay, so it really penalizes individual actions, but when it goes to the broader party coalition, that's where there are gaps in the law.
Yes, and for me, it is okay, because anti-party hopping law, if it is stretched too much or over, start covering too many definitions, it creates more problems than solutions.
So then this begs the question, right? What are the main challenges to implementation that you foresee once the bill comes into the into force? Are there still gaps there in the bill?
I mean, there are gaps, because first and foremost, we acknowledge that party hopping, party movements, has so many forms. And it depends on the motivation of the person and whatnot. So this is why from the beginning, Tindam Malaysia has advocated a hybrid version for deterrence. This is what we call deterrence. Anti-party hopping law is a deterrence. So we, for us, what has been laid out, it's good, because it addresses the biggest problem of party movement, willful jumping of individual MPs. And then we have recall elections to handle all the other complex movements, but we will allow the voters to decide on the ground for that purpose. So if you ask me, the challenge is, how do you cover all the other types of movements, such as dissolution of the party, party switching coalitions, expulsion, voting against party line? You know, these sort of things are too complex for anti-party hopping law. I'll be upfront. So that's one part. Okay. Then, if you ask me, from Tindam Malaysia's point of view, anti-party hopping law, recall, all that sort of measures are at the pinnacle of deterrence. But we need to address all the other issues that contribute towards party hopping. For example, we need to strengthen the role of the MPs, which, you know, it is still, that's one main challenge. We need to strengthen the independence of institutions like MACC so that it doesn't create the ground for the party hopping. Then we need to advocate for equitable constituency development funding. So long our MPs are behaving like welfare officers, they need to get some funding for their constituencies.
I think that's a really good point that you make, Danish, in the sense that the anti-party hopping law is really just one element, one mechanism in what needs to be a much broader institutional reform or institutional strengthening in order to make our politics clean and effective. One of the things that struck me was that this party hopping law only applies to federal MPs. It doesn't apply to state assemblymen. Do you see states following suit in incorporating anti-hopping laws in their legislatures, or are there going to be challenges in seeing a similar law adopted at the state level?
Let's first of all address one as very important aspect, what actually got passed. Because what the Prime Minister says, what the media says, seems to be contradicting what, if you refer to the parliamentary bill that was referred. In the parliamentary bill, they actually amending the Article 10, which facilitates measures required for the federal law to impose some sort of restrictions on the freedom of association in relation to political party members of the Dewan Rakyat and the State Legislative Assembly. So it has cleared the legal hurdle for the state assemblies to look into. The only thing is, where's the will? So if you ask me, among all the states of Malaysia that has a clear-cut anti-party hopping law in place, even though I'm not in full agreement with the contents, is Penang. So Penang. Now Penang, if they want to enforce it, my own interpretation is legally they already given the right, because Article 10 has enabled them. Yeah. How about the other states? Maybe Pakatan Harapan states. And I was just reading the news just now that the DAP Sarawak Adun Chong Jian Jian said, you know, Wan Junaidi, since you are the Sarawak MP that enabled the anti-party hopping law at the federal level, you should bring it to Sarawak, considering Sarawak state government has more than two-thirds. And there's an issue that members within the ruling coalition are switching parties within the coalition.
Mm.
So you will see, over time, you will see states will look into this, because the other state that was looking into this issue of party hopping was Selangor.
Danish, thanks very much for speaking to us this morning. That was Danish Prakash Chako, director of Tindak Malaysia, giving us his reactions to the anti-party hopping bill that was passed by Parliament yesterday. Or as he says, party movement might be the better term to use rather than party hopping. But I think it's kind of become part of our lexicon already, yeah. Anti-hopping, party
it's
hopping.
Branding. It's just branding. Yeah.
But the point I think that Danish brought up, which is very relevant to us, is that actually when we think about this, this is only stage one of the entire process. There's a lot more that we should actually force or at least push our political parties to actually do at the end of the day. And in fact, implementation of this bill, I'm curious to find out how easy or smooth it's going to be, because there are gaps in the legislation as it stands, right? So I think we should be watching this space very closely.
Danish also pointed out that there are several loopholes that can be exploited, and I'm really interested to see how ingenious some of our politicians
might be.
They're
very clever.
Yeah.
For things like this.
Again, it's how it's implemented that's really, really important.
How it's implemented, and also whether states will follow suit. So Danish sort of put down the gauntlet there for states to, you know, maybe try doing something in your state legislatures to really solidify the fact that party hopping isn't a trend or a practice that we, that we not advocate, but that we condone in our politics.
Look, just do the right thing, lah.
Well, actually, here in Malaysia, people don't seem to know how to resign.
That's true.
There is that as well. Many things that can be fixed in our politics.
Resign and apologize. Yes, those are the two things not frequently seen.
7:59 in the morning, we're heading into the 8 a.m. news bulletin. And then after that, on the breakfast grill, Philip C. speaks to Russell Napier, co-founder of the Electronic Research Interchange and also a financial historian, talking about the 1997 Asian financial crisis. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.